Before this chapter has ever been written, We catch that. Everybody would know the David and Bathsheba's story about how David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. But we also know that to cover up and to try to get away from all that, we see that he sent that Bathsheba's husband and Uriah for the heat of the battle and had him more or less David finished murdered by killing him off. And we see as all that's taking place, David's harboring all this in his heart, and David's thinking that everything's taken care of and everything's in. You look over at 2 Samuel, you see that they come unto Nathan, Nathan comes unto David and says, we know about the sin, God's revealed it. God's saying that there's going to be consequences, there's going to be punishment, the sword will never leave your house. We see that David's first reaction is anger. More or less, how did you figure it out? How do you know? You've got no right to talk to me that way. We see that David was thinking that that sin was his, but it still drove a divider between him and a heavenly father. David was trying to portray that he was right, even though it was something that was hindering him from serving God. We see David being known as a man after God's own heart, somebody that longed for God, sought after him, wanted to be pleasing in the eyes of God, had messed up. Now we see that God is beginning to expose that problem. And as we get down into what we're here today, I was looking to the first verses here, and I see that what David's feeling in his heart, and begin to think about what David might have experienced today, that all this began to snowball in front of him. You know, man, it's just been a regular day for David when he went out that evening and had no intention to commit sin, had no intention to turn his back on God, had no intention of doing anything wrong to separate his fellowship with God. It's just a normal day, but see, sin tends to bind the children of God like it would anybody else. We're not immune to sin. You say, why? Because we're in the flesh. We have still got the desires of the flesh. There are still going to be times we mess up. But we see that there was something that took place here. David broke out. He seen Bathsheba, and that could have been the end of everything. David could have said, Lord, help me forget about what I've seen. I erase that from my mind and he go his own way. But instead, David sought after the flesh. You say, why? Because seeking after the flesh, even for a child of God, is more pleasurable than staying inside the things of God. It's because we're open for it. And because of that sin, we see in the verses, in verse number 1 and verse number 9, that David says, my transgressions and my iniquities. David, many sins took place here in a short period of time. So what we can see is once that initial sin had taken place, it began to build. And it began to be a snowball that was rolling out of control. And now David is not able to control what's going on. You see, it may have been that there was a time that you woke up one morning and everything seemed to be going fine and everything seemed to be going all right. You had done prayed to God that morning and everything had been set forth in a normal routine and everything was going to be right for that day. And all of a sudden, sin comes your way. That temptation would come your way and you fell into it. And when you fell into that temptation, it would have been dealt with immediately. But instead, you harbored that in your heart. And I'm not saying that you committed what you and I would call a cardinal sin of adultery or murder, as David has done. But I'm saying sin is sin in the eyes of God. Any kind of sin would separate us from the fellowship of God. It may be a simple little thing of, you know, us bucking God is a sin. Us not following after God is sin. It could be the simple little things of God is wanting me to go this direction. And he went this way. God is looking for me to testify in the church and I didn't. Or God wanted me to do this in a worship service and I didn't. You say, how is it possible in the midst of a church service where God's moving, you and I can put sin in our heart and harbor it where we cannot do nothing for God from there on out. That's the scary part for the child of God. That's why we've got to do a checkup all the time to make sure we're in the fellowship of God. But we've seen it today in the as he is confronted with this, we see that David has kept it tucked away and kept it in and didn't begin to fester up inside of David. And David sent him being sensitive to God as he always had. He's beginning to love the face of God and no longer wants to follow after God and worship God the way that he once had. You say, it doesn't say that right here. But David is not repenting. So I know for a fact he's not seeking God's presence. The same would apply for you and I. Once we begin to harbor that sin in our heart, we're no longer going to worship God the way that we need. I'll tell you what's scary about it. I think back the years that I've been in this church and through my life, and how I used to see people stand and worship God, seek after God, long for God. God moved in the service and it didn't take nothing for him just to breathe, and people begin to fall forward and worship him. And now it seems like we sit silent on curtain pews. And it makes me begin to wonder in my own heart, have I got something harbored in here that would separate my fellowship from God? And there's some sin somewhere that has caused me to begin to go a direction that I don't want to, instead of the direction that God would have me to be in. You know, I began to think about it, and I think, you know, is it something that God has afflicted this church with trials, and I've got bitter in my heart, and that's my sin against God, because God is what makes a rise in my life. And now I'm putting on emotions. I'm going to the house of God. I could be in the choir. I could teach the Sunday school. I can do all the things that look right, but still yet in my heart, I'm wrong. You know, David had everybody fooled except the
one,
the man of God that God has called to come. I wonder how many people here today are just playing a game of keeping everybody cool. Maybe you're keeping the wool pulled over their eyes. But in all reality, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what our pastor thinks. It doesn't matter what the Sunday school teachers think. It don't matter what the bishop or beside you thinks. All that matters is how God reveals you and I and our service and worship.
That's right.
As we get down into the first verse, I begin to read that David begins to cry out unto God. Initial praise, if I'm frustrated, I'm aggravated, how did you find out that I've done wrong? This is not right that you would approach me this way. Defensive, throwing right off the bat. I'm not where God would have me to be. You know, when those sins come, it ought to break my heart when I see them. It ought to break your heart when you see it. You say, why? Because right off the bat, there's something that says, that's wrong. You've done wrong. You've sinned. And you've went the wrong direction. I'll give you an example of it. Time back into what I taught last week, what Chris taught this morning. Then someone went to the store this past week and went to Walmart. Going through there, and I had to see one belly, and he didn't look like somebody that I would associate with, that's how I put it. And I began to think, you know that right there? And thoughts began to run through my mind. And God said, the difference between you and him is great. That little bit, that little bit is how fast you and I can see. It's how fast you and I can get out of the will of God. It does not take months to turn our back and begin to walk away from the Lord. And the thing about it, it begins to get easier and easier and easier. You get out of the will of God this week, I can promise you 2 weeks from now, it may be an easy decision not to show up on Sunday. It's going to become one of the things that's going to get out of hand fast. But David has come to the point where he's broken in his life and he said, have mercy upon me, O God. Now, this is not just I'm going to pray out to where everybody can hear, to where everybody can hear and get right. This is David along with God. Lord, I want your attention. Lord, I need your help in my life. You say, how am I going to get back to where I need to be with God? If that sin has come into my life, there's got to be a time in which you get yourself unto God and alone with God. You can be alone with God in the midst of an altar down here with people praying around you. I'm talking about your mind, your heart, soul, and just be alone. Don't worry about anything else that's around. David is broken inside of his heart, crying out for mercy for God. And he says, I need thy loving kindness according to the multitude of mercies that blot out my hatred. Right as I read this verse, I begin to look at verse number 9 in the same aspect. He said, Lord, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And what David said, he said, Lord, I know that sin can be forgiven from you. See, David, he looked forward to the cross, but you and me would look back on the cross knowing that he came to die for you and I. So look at this verse that wants you and I to a Savior that has shed his blood for us. If the blood now would hold a special spot for the child of God, you know, if I was to write something down on a piece of paper and I was to scribble on the top of it and then write the sign of it, I could go back and I could look at that white scribble real hard and I could almost make out what I had wrote. But he's talking about blood now that's more or less that ink has spilled over top of what was written at that point. So there's no making out anymore what's been done. So what David's saying is, Lord, I know you're capable of. And Lord, I know through the cross that Calvary, all sins have been forgiven, past, present, future. I know all that's been taken care of. But Lord, there's been a division between my fellowship and you. He said, I can't get to you, Lord, because of that sin. There's encouraging part for the child of God. No matter what you've done, how you sinned, how you turned your back on God, how the fellowship got separated, the sin has already been dealt with on the cross.
Amen.
So what David's saying right here is he's basically saying, I'm sorry. He said, I messed up. I turned my back on you. I've walked away. I'm not where I should be. Lord, will you forgive me for turning my back on what you've done for me? Begin to take for what he's done for us on the cross of Calvary. Oh, there should not ever be a point in my life where I think that I'm too high and mighty to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done to turn my back on him. If you would go down to verse number 2, David writes, says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. As I read verse 2, it takes me down to verse number 16 through the latter verses of the chapter, where David's talking about the sacrifice to be made. And he's saying, well, I want to do the burnt offering. Oh, David's going to the midst of the temple and he's going to have the burnt offering presented. And everybody would say, David, you come out of God, David, and make things right with the Lord. But David said, you know, that burnt offering's not doing any kind of good without my heart first being right with you. He said, I've got to have the broken heart. I've got to get to a place where I want to get back to serve. I wonder how many people today, it's not sitting in verse number 2 where they want the Lord to turn to the washing, but they're at the point where I'm going to go, somebody knows about it, let me come up here and just make a right real quick and everything will be fine. And then I can sit on the field and be fine. Let me work this a different way this morning. It's not how it's happening. What is it in my heart that keeps me from serving God to the best of my ability inside these four walls? What is it in my heart that keeps me serving God to the best of my ability outside the walls of the church? I can answer that question within myself. You answer, you figure out what restrains you from serving God and reading. He said, Lord, he said, wash me thoroughly. He said, everything inside of me that should be there. He said, Lord, inside and out. He said, I want to be your servant. He said, Lord, I don't want to keep you 90% of my heart and keep the 10% tucked away. He said, Lord, that I want to be dedicated unto serving you. I want to be dedicated unto worshiping you for the entirety of my life. The verse number 3 says, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before. So what David said is what he's already been told by the priest. He said, Lord, I know the sin has been in my life. He said, Lord, that sin is ever before. But what David's saying is, Lord, I'm asking for forgiveness. He said, but Lord, I know there's so many consequences to come.
Yeah.
Even when the Lord can forgive, when you don't step away from that sin when the Lord will first convict of it, I believe there are consequences. Some may be lying, some may be severe. I'll put it to you like this. When we were young, there would be times when we do things wrong that we knew we weren't supposed to do. Sometimes you get grabbed by the hand, mama, she would grab us under the chin. Then sometimes it would be that she would get whooped. I mean, just flat out whooped. And depending on the severity of what you had done, depended on the severity of the consequence. And I believe what David's saying right here is he said, Lord, even if I say I'm sorry, Lord, even if I get back in the midst of your presence and I'm where you need to be, I know there are consequences to come. Because I didn't turn away When you call me that need, they're one.
Yeah.
So you and I are the same way. There may be times that we're going to face consequences for sin. But there's no excuse for us not to be in the presence of God inside of our heart and life. Verse 4, he could have hit me and he saw how I feel. See, this is where the part where I begin to notice that David's really broken. He's not worried about anything else around him. You know, if I was to hear a message like this preached from the Lord was moving in my heart, I would sit on the church pew and sometimes and I might say, you know, Lord, I'm just here with this lady. Not right now. Lord, I don't care if anybody sees me go, hey, what are they going to say behind my back? What are they going to begin to say? But David's not that. David's on the road from that. He said, Lord, I messed up big time. He said, Lord, it don't matter what anybody else in the midst of me thinks. He said, but Lord, I stand against you. I broke reproach upon your name. I wonder this morning if you would be dedicated to the Lord enough to say, Lord, against you and you only have a sin. Don't worry about anybody else inside of the church, but give your God to use you to be a witness. There's coming a day and it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late to worship. It's going to be too late to serve. And it will be a crying shame for the child of God. It will be too late to repent of the things that we've harbored in our heart between us and God. You say, why? Because of the flesh that we so desire to please. Everybody sins. Everybody makes a mistake. But it's the next shame you take to God that's going to happen. It's whether I'm taking it to God, begin to harbor it in and try to hide it and say, I'll just fit in with the crowd. I'll just make it all work. I can look right on Sunday. I can look right outside in this world. But between me and God, there's no longer any kind of fellowship. See, that fellowship break is what broke David. He desired to be in the presence of God, and he no longer is. I wonder, honestly, in our heart this morning, if you were to answer, how many of us in fellowship with God in our personal heart and mind? How many of us can say that we were spoken and desired to be in the house of God this morning? That would mean like trying to enter us because we've done that separation from God. There is no kind of separation. I bet you to say we all fall short. But I wonder how many of us is harboring stuff in our heart this morning instead of getting under God. He says in verse 5, he said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and my sin did my mother conceive. He said, Lord, you know. He said, before the eons of time, before aeons even falling on this earth, he said, you knew me. You knew that I was going to commit these sins. He said, Lord, you knew everything that was going on. And he was saying, just as he knew us, Lord, you also know that I'm broken at this point in my heart and that I desire to be back in your presence. Lord, will you take me in? That's what he's saying. Will you forgive me? Will you restore me back to where I need to be for you? He goes on down to the next verses. He says, I desire truth in the inward parts, the hidden part. He said, for my core. He said, Lord, there's nothing that I'm hiding. He said, Lord, clean me inside and out. Get me inside of my presence again. Make me a vessel that will be breathed in your sight. Verse 7 and 8, it talks about cursing with the hypocrite. Making it clean, but in verse 8, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones of the sky is broken. May it rejoice. He said, when I see it, I lost everything that I rejoiced in before. You and I want to know the question why we're going through it. I know there's times of struggle with joy when the trials have come our way in this walk of life. But we can still have joy in the midst of those trials. We can still have the hope in the midst of those trials. But what David's talking about is the separation of joy. Be it miserable. It seems like everything is against you. It seems like everything is going wrong. It seems like nothing's working right, even when it comes to church, even though you're faithful. nothing is working out the way that you think it's supposed to. And you say, why? Because you've lost the joy and you've lost the wisdom that you had in the Lord when you harbored that sin in your heart. David, he paints the picture here in verse number 8. He said that their bones was down as broken as they rejoiced. Thinking about the bones being broken, if I was to take somebody and I was to stand in front of me and I was to get a some kind of stink, bag, whatever it may be, and I would just begin to hit on them and break the bones in their body to where they could not go on, they could not walk, they could not move. They was just worthless at that point. They were still alive, but they could not walk, could not function, could not help others, could not do anything. That's what David said spiritually about me. He said, that's what this sin has done. He said, spiritually, he said, I am crippled to the point that why am I helping anybody or anything around me? I'll give you another illustration of this. I'm going to have this for a while. Not everybody. You get down at the chicken house, and I'll try to explain the best I can. Those birds, after 14 days old, those birds pick a certain spot that they want to be. That's the spot that the air is comfortable for them. That's the spot that they like to eat. The spot that they like to drink at, and that bird, no matter where you move it, that house, if you take the divider migration fixes out, you can put that bird in any spot in the house, and he will come back to that same house. So that's where that bird is comfortable at. So what I'm going to try to compare it to a church, and that's what I mean. You and I are comfortable inside of this church where we're at. We're not going astray to other churches, we're not bouncing around, we're not hitting this. But we are comfortable inside of this church. Okay? So now I'll take that bird. And that bird is surrounded by bacteria his whole life. That living stuff that's in the ground. I've lost here bacteria called sickness in birds, but they're supposed to build an immunity to that over time. Same as you and I, the child of God. We're surrounded by the sin of this whole world. But you and I should be building immunity to it, trying to get closer to God throughout a Christian walk of life. Now that bird, what happens to him is he is surrounded by other birds that have made the decision to be in the same area. And eat out of the same pan, drink out of the same spot in the water line. And that bird, he gets to a place that he gets a little nick on his skin. Like something goes just a little bit wrong. And not something that would naturally occur. And he gets scratched because of overcrowding most of the time. And he's just carried on his little business, but what happens is that scratch begins to let that bacteria in. And it begins to fester, and those birds then, and they'll end up with dermatitis every time that happens. And that dermatitis affects that bird in a place that I can't see it in that bird until it's too late. See, the dermatitis, it goes in, and it's a skin infection, but it raises the temperature of that bird, and it begins to heat up on the inside, the fever makes it begin to shut its organs down. And by the time you realize that bird is going down from the heat, he's already crippled up, but he's spread to every other bird that's been comfortable around. So here in the church, we're comfortable in this area. I depend on you, and you depend on me. If you're watching the birds in my house to get too cold, or they're going to get too much air when it's hot, they depend on each other to hover together to control the way that they feel inside of that. The same applies here. I rely on you. Sometimes I would hold up when times get hard, something's not going my way. And if something comes in unnaturally and scratches and hurts you, and you begin to let something slip in, a sin, and it begins to fester, you're going to begin to affect everybody around you. Before they actually realize what's going on. The sad part about the dermatitis in the birds is you name that one little spot, you'll lose that one. The next day there may be 10. The next day there may be 25. The next day in that little area may be 100. Numbers get drastic in a hurry. You say, what's happening? Somebody harbored something in their heart and it's affected the whole church. You won't get yourself right just because you don't want to serve God, get it right for the next generation, or get it right for the one beside you that's been dependent on you all these years, get it right for the young ones that are going along and need this house of God. need somewhere to serve God where the presence of God is felt. Don't let your sin cripple and debilitate this whole thing. Don't harbor it in your heart. Take it to God. You see, what happens is, if I was to know that that bird had dermatitis before it got too late, I could pull him out of that house. And even though his infection was suffering, it would never affect every other one. Same way applies to me. Sin is going to come. There's no way around it. We're going to see it. But it needs to be dealt with before it affects the whole entire of this church. It would be a shame to stand before God one of these days and to be judged. You know, I'll get this from a saved person this morning. To be judged to know that God will judge me for hindering his church. It's not just me anymore. It's the church. A collective body of believers. He goes on down to the next verse. In verse number 11, he says, cast me not away from my presence. What he said here, he said, Lord, I desire your forgiveness. I desire for you to take me back into the fold. I desire for you to cleanse me to the uttermost of what he's desiring also to teach you in verse number 12 of restoration to take place. See, this is where the child of God will get in the position where they think that God's not moving as fast as he should. You know, God will instantly forgive if we will submit unto him. But the restoration takes it. David's still going to deal with the after effects of the sin. You're still going to deal with the after effects of the sin. The restoration angel coming down here and said, Lord, I've messed up. I've sinned. I make everything right again. I get up from the altar and everything. The bed of roses. No. Sometimes it's going to take me a while to get back. I'll put it to you off this. You go out there and you take a big oak tree. You take this oak tree to the bed. You cut that oak tree down. Dig the root up. Get some soil put back in. Something that's going to be good. You can't place you another little oak. That big tree is gone. It's been turned over. That's what happens when we see it. Cut that oak tree off. Put plant it another one. And eventually it'll get that size. But it's going to take a while. And that's what sin does to you and I. We've got to get ahead of the men that have stood sin to our heart and our life. He said, Lord, he said, I desire for you to restore me. He said, I desire for you to bring me back into the fold. But one day, he said, Lord, as soon as I'm back where I need to be for you, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be the witness that you would have me to be. I'm going to be that shining light that you would have me to be in that lost and dying world. I wonder why a lot of people don't rejoice that David would answer it here. There's something that would separate us from God. The child of God has more reason to rejoice today than we ever have. You say, why? Because I'm seeing more and more and more signs that he's coming back to take us home. I feel the pull that's stronger. It seems like God just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter to the child of God. And you and I have no reason not to rejoice other than seeing something right now.
That's right.
I wonder this morning if you was to be honest inside of your heart and your life with yourself, just between you and God, where do you stand? Let me ask you like this. What's keeping you from serving him this morning?
Yes.
You know, the things about the messages that make it pay the same thing is I've got to deal with it in my heart before I can ever stand up here with it. And you'll be amazed at what God does inside of your heart when you begin to say, God, I need you to show me. Need you to show me where I'm going to stand. Lord, I need you to show me why I'm not the Christian that I need to be. I need you to show me what's being my hindrance so that I can serve you the way that you're worthy to be served. You will tell you, he's just enough God that he can give to show me. See, David mentioned in that passage that I just skipped over that verse, that God is just in his judgment. God will let us know if we're correct. We just got to get to the point where we're looking and say, God, I need you to forgive me. I need you to restore me. And I desire for you to use me. Put it in his hands this morning.
Yeah,